Lindsay and Temple Patrick. Morning, Lindsay.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead.
I'm listening closely here. Belfast must be the only major city in Great Britain that doesn't have a casino.
Well, that's because our gambling laws are different than Northern Ireland.
Well, they shouldn't be. In my opinion, they shouldn't be. There's no logic to this argument whatsoever. If people want to gamble, they'll do it from their own homes. They'll do it in bookmakers. Why not have a casino? Bring jobs into Belfast city centre. I mean, come on. We're living in a city centre where you can't even get a cup of coffee before 1 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. That's a lot.
Are you not worried about problem gambling?
Not any more than it would be about problem drinking, to be honest with you, Stephen. So what do? You close down all the bars, the hotels? I don't gamble myself.
And do you believe Sir Richard when he talks about this being an entertainment complex and therefore the casino's only part of it and therefore, you know, it'll be all singing, all dancing?
I can't.
Entertainment.
To be honest with you, a casino in Belfast would obviously bring in more tourists. It would, more money would be made for the traders in Belfast City Centre. And I can't see it being an issue whatsoever.
How much are you suggesting, Sir Richard, this would create for the Northern Ireland economy?
I think it would create the whole dancing, singing would be up to 400 jobs, 35 million, and I mean proper jobs. And it brings a whole different dimension as an attraction to the city
well,
centre.
The Reverend David McElveen is going to engage with you now. Morning, David.
Hi, that one.
Good morning.
What would you say to him?
Well, what we're witnessing now, Stephen, in my opinion, is the employment of the totally predictable tactic of those whose sole objective is to make a financial profit out of a business that has the potential to damage the most vulnerable in our society. And this attempt to wear down any resistance to the proposed casino by seeking to advance the positives of employment and financial investment, I have to say, is created on the anvil of self-interest and formulated on the basis that the owner's bank balance will be in considerable profit. Now, gambling, from my experience dealing with people who have gambled, is not a pleasurable form of entertainment. It exists on the principle of a business that necessitates a built-in guarantee that the proprietor will not lose out.
In your opinion, though, David, and for you and people who hold your opinion, don't go, but what about the people? Well, for example, here's one of the tweets into the programme this morning. Give the people here a bit of credit. Free us from this religious political dogma. Let us out of the dark ages.
Well, I think, you know, people will make that comment, Stephen, but my response to that is very simple. That people, you know, are sadly addicted to gambling, as they are addicted to alcohol and so on. And I was shocked yesterday, I don't know how your listeners felt about it, when the Deputy Chief Constable spoke about an alleged domestic abuse allegation every 19 minutes in Northern Ireland. Now, in my dealings with some of those cases, I have found that one of the issues that was central to it has been the misuse of finances within the home. And people who are struggling financially sadly find themselves creating instability within the home. We don't need anything else for people.
So you're now suggesting gambling leads to domestic violence?
I would suggest that while it's not scientifically proven, I believe it has the potential to do that.
Richard?
I think, David, you're being intensely patronising to people, if you don't mind me saying so. I mean, people are grown up and intelligent. They can make up their own minds as to what they do and don't do.
Alex can't.
Of course you're right in saying that people involved in, whether they're bookies or whether they're casino operators, of course they're in a commercial operation. That goes for any company. Whatever the case may be, I mean, you can talk about arms, Bombardier, if you like. I mean, it's not for you to tell people you can and can't do this, that or the other. What you can rightly do and should do, and I admire you for doing it, is to point out the damages to a small number and then ask the question about what's going to happen about that.
But I think in your case,
I agree with you on that.
But I think in your case, Sir Richard, that you know, in my view, you have a flaw in your argument, a very fundamental flaw, in that while you're promoting the casino, you're also saying, on the other hand, we're going to give to a charity that deals with addiction. Now, to me, that is a great...
Who you haven't even spoken to.
Well, I have. I have spoken to representatives of that charity. And what is significant to me is that you, through the RANK organisation, are creating a problem that you recognise is there, and then trying to offload that problem by giving some financial help to the charity.
Well, to me, David, that's a contradiction. That would be perfectly fair if what we were doing, we've had this debate, you and I, before, if it was going to increase the incidence of problem gambling in Northern Ireland, when we know perfectly well from academic and proper research studies in almost all the big cities of the world, including all the ones in the rest of the country, where problem gambling is significantly less in Belfast, where the opposite is the case. Casinos properly run reduce the amount of problem gambling. They don't do away with it. And, of course, proper amounts of money need to be made available to handle it.
But what you're saying is the opposite of the truth. But you cannot regulate addiction, Sir Richard. That's the problem.
I understand that, but your solution to this, and you're quite absolutely honest about it, your solution to it is to ban it altogether. That's what you'd like to do. And we've been through that argument. Nobody is suggesting in Northern Ireland, that I know, about banning all gambling in Northern Ireland or banning all drinking in Northern Ireland. I mean, years ago, Stephen, if I can just say, 30 years ago to the day, I introduced as minister the ability to be able to have a drink in a pub during Sundays. And all sorts of hell came down on my head from the Reverend Ian Paisley, who said this meant that all the menfolk were going to go in the pubs and that they'd leave their bands and their wives sitting at home while they got drunk all day long. And what happened when we introduced it was that actually all families started going out for lunch on Sunday. The whole pub started to stop being drinking dens and started doing food. And my view about casinos is very similar. If it's well done, properly done, it will bring it all into the open and it will make the thing a better place rather than where it is now.
Can I ask Sir Richard a very simple question, Stephen? It's simply this. Can people live without gambling?
Yes, of course they can. The vast majority.
Is that not a more prioritised way to view life, to live without something that you don't need?
Well, it's not for us to tell them, David. You can't go around telling everybody what they should or shouldn't do with their private lives.
But gambling is created. You know, it is created for a business. It is created to attract people.
We don't create the demand. The demand is there, and people want to go and enjoy themselves and do it. And if we are not there, then, as Stephen so rightly says, it's going to be done underhand. It's going to be done.
So I have never said that.
It's going to be haven't you? Whatever you said then, it was to be done online. You said.
Michael in Belfast has a question for you, Sir Richard. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Stephen. How are you?
Go ahead.
Right, Sir Richard, all I would like to know is...
And you gamble yourself, Michael, right?
Pardon?
You gamble yourself.
Oh, I'm fond of a punt, yeah. In fact, when I finish this conversation, I'll go up to the bookies and have a bet in the football tonight. But anyway, bye. I would like to ask Sir Richard how he's going to train someone to spot a compulsive gambler. How do you approach someone who possibly could be lost in hundreds of pounds and tell them, right, that's enough, when the idea of a compulsive gambler is to keep chasing it till he either wins it or he loses the lot?
It's a good question.
That's absolutely the right question. The way in which we train our staff, and the first thing is controls the people who go into casinos. They have to start off by joining up, be a member, they have to get a card. When they play a machine, the machine records how much they're betting, at what intervals they're betting, how much they're betting. And actually, because a stick casino is a social entity where you've got lots and lots of people around you, the people who are trained within the organisation, within RANK, spot very quickly and very early on when people are gambling too much and beyond their means. You can see it in the way they behave, you can see it in how they react. And then you start talking to them about it. You can go to self-exclusion. you can actually stop them. You can decide to say, no more, you can't.
And you would be prepared to provide for us, Sir Richard, would you? Because the great thing here is the rank group... I'll let you come back in 1 second, Michael. But the great thing, Sir Richard, is the rank group do have casinos elsewhere in the UK. So yes. You would be prepared to provide statistical data to inform the public of Northern Ireland how many times your staff have approached people in other ranked casinos and stopped them gambling, would you?
Of course.
Okay. We look forward to that data.
Well, there's nothing secret about any of this.
I'm not talking about gamblers approaching you and self-excluding. I'm talking about what you've just said happens. Your staff walking up to someone at a slot machine and saying, you've gambled too much, we're stopping you. I can't wait to get that data.
Hang on a minute. What I said is, of course we go up to people and we talk to them and we tell them that we think they've had enough.
I can't wait to see that data.
Hang on. Let me get... Fine, well, you can see it. But the point is, I go back to what the city council say. If in their licence they say they want a more proactive, a more invasive way of casino operators dealing with people with problems, which you can foresee, and you know this as well as I do, Stephen, then put that in there. I mean, there are levels of interference that you can have with people gaming in casinos.
Okay.
But it's of no interest to a casino to have a problem gambler for the reasons that David said. What is the point of a casino having problem gambling? Because all it will do is make it more difficult for the casino to be a success.
Go ahead, Michael. You wanted to come back.
Well, I want to know, how would Sir Richard know or the rank organisation know that a person walking through the door is a millionaire or a basic working class man? You must, to know that someone's gambled too much, first of all, what is too much? Secondly, you must know, he can afford to gamble that.
Well, and on the whole issue of appearance and looking at someone and making a judgment upon them.
Hold on.
Let's just listen to what Sir Richard actually said earlier on as to what the rank group, how they would look upon people coming in to a Northern Ireland casino.
And the point is that the people who go to casinos, there'll be tourists, there'll be people who are currently, as you, gambling under the table, there'll be people who go on cruises. They'll not be the people who currently go elsewhere in Northern Ireland and who are actually the poorer element of society who desperately need helping. And at the moment...
So how are you keeping the poorer element of society out, Sir Richard? Explain this to me.
Because when you go in, you have to become a member.
Yes.
You have to have a dress code. You have to... I don't want to be classist about it, but the whole social environment of gambling, which you know too well because you go to these places yourself, you know perfectly well the sorts of people...
Well, you were being classist about it, Sir Richard, weren't you? The people who currently go elsewhere, we would have a dress code, wouldn't be the poorer people. So poorer working class people not welcome in a rank casino, Sir Richard, is that it?
What, you asking me again? Or?
Oh, I am asking you again, because when you play that clip again, Sir Richard, I just wonder if you were being incredibly insulting towards working class people in this country.
I'm not being incredibly insulting to working class people. But working class people want to go and gamble. Of course they can go and gamble. I'm not being all I'm saying is that our experience with our customers tells us the sorts of people who go and use casinos.
You're just going to price them out of your casinos and dress code them out of your casinos.
I'm giving you the reality of how our casinos work. That's all I'm telling you.
By dress coding ordinary decent people out of your casino?
Don't be so silly. We're not paying out of them. It's people. We're just saying the sorts of people who come into our casinos, enjoy the social ambience of it and the gambler, are not the same sorts of people you were referring to earlier, in many instances, the people who gamble at home or gamble on their own or gamble, on Friday and Saturday nights in Belfast. We know that to be the case.
I still don't understand that. The type of people who gamble on a Friday and Saturday night in Belfast, how do they differ from the ordinary people listening to this programme?
Because many of them have gambling in Belfast terms, many of them, and they come from particular communities, have gambling as very much more part of their lives than others. Now, I'm not going to.
And what does that say about them?
I'm not going to... Well, it's what they enjoy. It's how they spend their money. I mean, you know, other people can go... I mean, David's point is that somehow casinos... David Muggleby's point is somehow casinos and companies are attracting people to gamble who wouldn't otherwise gamble. That is, in my view, nonsense. What they do is they offer an opportunity for people to participate in a pastime. Some people do more of that than others.
Which communities are you thinking about when you say they're?
Well, I don't want to. You know, we all know the communities that tend to be bigger percentage gamble than others. I mean, that's known throughout.
And you don't want those people in your casino, or what?
We want people in our casinos who can afford to go there, want to enjoy it. And are responsible and know how to do it, and that is the vast majority of our customers. I mean, to answer,
I'm trying to understand, Sir Richard, seriously, how you can tell who can afford to go there when they walk in the door.
Because
you're going to look at how they're dressed. Well, you're going to find out what community they're from when you look at their address.
Of course, but we know most of our customers, the people who come to our casinos. You asked, so I didn't get his name, but he made a perfectly fair point. How do you know the first time they walk through a door? Of course, you don't know that. You can just, you know, you take their membership, you take the details, you look at their profile, what they do, but they become your clientele. They go on a regular basis, like going to the pub or going to the bookies or going shopping or whatever. You find out who they become your customers. You know them. The point about a casino is it's social interaction. It's not doing it, you know, in a sort of closed, darkened room or in front of a television. That's the point about it. It's why it's a much better way of controlling and organising gambling than leaving as it currently is in Northern Ireland.
Danny's in Carrickfergus. Morning, Danny.
Hello, Stephen. Stephen, it's about the casinos.
Yeah.
The casinos would bring brilliant money into this country and work for plenty. And as for the morals of gambling. A person that is addicted to gambling, they gamble everywhere. Down the bookies, the slot machines in the bookies think they know that they're compulsive gamblers.
And that's the point, Brian Kingston, isn't it? That they can gamble online, and it's why, and look, I know I don't have the detail in front of me, and it's why, Brian Kingston, I've asked the DSD a question around advertising this morning, because at the end of the day, the Northern Ireland executive has not stopped these internet gambling companies advertising in Northern Ireland. You have not legislated to prevent that happening, Brian Kingston. So here you are opposing a land-based casino when any company anywhere in Great Britain or elsewhere who are appropriately licensed can advertise in Northern Ireland and lure people into internet gambling where they're sitting in their bedroom, no one's watching them, and they can spend hundreds of pounds per spin, Brian, on a slot machine. All of the type of things, to be fair to Sir Richard, that you cannot do in a casino.
Well, I would just share your concerns about online gambling, and if there is a lack of regulation there, I mean, that's a matter for Westminster primarily. You know,
no, it's a matter. No, sorry, that's my point. It's a matter for Stormont. It's not just a matter for Westminster, because you've got a local gambling order here in Northern Ireland. And at the end of the day, Stormont are not, and the DUP as a political party, an influential political party, is not legislating to stop internet gambling in Northern Ireland. And they could, and they're not. They're not doing it.
Well, perhaps that's something that will be addressed. I understand there is a bill being prepared to look at the whole gambling industry and how it should be regulated in Northern Ireland. And that's something that can be looked at. I mean, I'm a member of Belfast City Council. To argue that opening casinos will somehow reduce gambling or reduce the malevolent effects of gambling, I think, is entirely spurious and very dubious argument. I mean, we take the view that we have to look at how things enrich our society or not, and protecting people if it's suffering the detrimental impact of facilities. We do have regulations and licensing of certain establishments, and just I've heard people arguing, oh, some things might be demanded by tourists.
For example,
Richard, now you interrupt me every time I talk. For example, we don't have lap dancing clubs in Belfast because we take a view that that is not enriching for our society. We don't have strip clubs. We don't license all-night drinking clubs. We don't license brothels. We don't license illegal drug taking. Even though some people would take the opposite view, not categorising those altogether, some people argue that some of these things should be permitted. But we take the view that those things do not affect our society. And we would wish to protect people who suffer the detrimental impact from those. And
Let him come back at you, Brian. Hold on, let him come back. Go on, Sir Richard.
We're not suggesting having strip clubs. I mean, but the question you have to keep back and answer, you have to answer all the time, Brian. Your party is in power and government, has been there for several years. Why is it, and you keep refusing to answer this, why is it that problem gambling is so much more in Northern Ireland than it is elsewhere in the country where there are casinos? You never answer this question. Why is it so much worse? Are you saying that the people of the Irish people in Belfast are more feckless? I told you this last night, an almost racist argument, that people in Northern Ireland are more feckless and more prone to problem gambling than any other people in the country. It's ridiculous. Of course that's not true. You've done nothing about it, and all I come up with is something which lots and lots of people would enjoy and would make matters worse. And for some of you come out and say, that's a spurious argument. You give no facts or background as to why it's a spurious argument.
Well, we're concerned about any form of addiction and negative impact, and we do support
that. So are all of us.
Yes. So, and that's something which can be looked at, you know, how we do have better regulation.
Why haven't you looked at it
particularly up online? But to argue that therefore we should have open casinos and that would reduce online gambling, there is no logic to that argument. The logic would dictate that opening casinos will increase gambling.
Sorry, I'm going to bang this point again, Brian. Within the Northern Ireland betting order legislation, okay, within that legislation, there was a ban on foreign companies advertising into Northern Ireland. The Great Britain Gambling Act of 2005 allowed those companies to advertise gambling into Northern Ireland. In other words, advertise online gambling into Northern Ireland, and Stormont let it happen. So you do have a local administration here certainly allowing to happen all of these internet companies advertising online gambling in the Northern Ireland, and yet you are objecting, and the DUP is objecting, to Sir Richard setting up his company setting up a land-based casino. How are those two positions consistent?
Well, as I say, that is something that can be looked at within the bill. I'm sure that is in the early stages of being brought forward. The concern is, though, that opening casinos is not going to be a way of reducing gambling, whether online or inside premises. My concern is that the whole environment in a casino is almost like a form of seduction, with dancing girls and flashing lights and everything to encourage and pressure to put people on to go for higher and higher bets.
So are you saying to me...
money that are involved... Yeah. But
I'm running out of time, Brian. Are you saying the DUP should be banning advertising gambling into Northern Ireland for online casinos?
I'm saying that that's something that needs to be looked at, something, and we need to have good regulation and good protection of people.
Sir Richard, just finally, we've got you for 1.5 more minutes, Sir Richard, and I want to ask you a question about something completely different, because of course you were a direct rule minister here under the Conservative administration. And Northern Ireland's currently looking at whether it can get corporation tax, the powers to reduce it, devolved. Do you think that would be a game changer for Northern Ireland, as someone that tried to sell Northern Ireland around the world? What are your thoughts on that?
I think I've always thought, and as Minister of the Economy, I tried to get it done 25 years ago. And I couldn't get it done 25 years ago because I was told the Scots wouldn't stand for it. And in those times, the Tory party still existed in Scotland. So politically, it was very, very difficult to get it accepted. But of course, it's right for Northern Ireland to have reduced corporation
tax. So do you think it would be a game changer? How much of a game changer would it be, Sir Richard? How big would it be?
Well, I think it would do a considerable amount to help inward investment into Northern Ireland, which indeed, I mean, actually interesting you say, going back to Rank for a second, I mean, I think Rank would certainly consider looking at what else it could invest in Northern Ireland if it had a 12% corporation tax rate rather than the one
What do you mean? What else could it invest? What do you mean?
Well, head office functions it could bring over here. So quite a lot of things it could think about.
So you think, because you're obviously on the board, so you think that Rank might locate here, head office here?
Well, we were talking about this yesterday, I mean, we'd have to look at it. Of course we would, if there's an opportunity for us. Any company would sensibly look at that. But it's not only rank. I mean, you take the great law companies that are all coming over here, the Allen and Overies and so on,
yeah.
and you take what's gone to the south compared to what's come to the north. I do think, however, okay. there is a point about whether there should be a quid pro quo for this, which the Chancellor is saying to the Northern Ireland government.
Okay. All right, we've got to leave it there. But thank you, Sir Richard, and indeed to all the other politicians.